Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, and Drew Nixon with you for the next 4 hours hanging out here. Hope everybody's having a good start to their day. You can always hit us up on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Now, anytime, Drew, I do the intro, I'm worried I'm going to get cut off like 10 seconds in. I didn't know.
I wouldn't do that to you every time. Although, I don't know if you guys know this, since Vinny passed Quintino. And the live versions of Pasquantino started, our guy's hitting 556 with 10 RBI, 3 home runs, 3 walks, and an 1,800 OPS. So, no big deal.
Legit like number 3 hitter, to say the least.
He's just probably been the best hitter in baseball during the time. As a matter of fact, last night I spent some real time and some time this morning.
Man, I can predict the future. I kid you not, last night I almost texted Drew. I knew you were working on something.
I haven't begun the process of it, but I have started to consider what songs might work for Michael Garcia. After another 0-for night last night, and I want to remind you, yesterday you said it's too early.
Yes.
You said it was too early for Pasquantino. Snapped into place.
Yeah, I just don't think we need to get into the habit of, it's overkill, of a song for every player that has a bad 8-game stretch.
You know, I disagree, for starters, but I'm narrowing.
Oh boy,
the song choices. I don't know if we want to bring it to the people or not, but I'm narrowing the song choices. I might make a new song tonight. Now, normally it's a 2-day. Does anyone you want to know what my process is?
No,
I have a process.
No, I don't.
I have a process for how I go about creating these songs. Would you like to know about how I go through it? No,
I don't actually.
Well, if you'd like that, I guess you can just hit me up on DMs.
What song are you?
I told you I'm between
on
several choices. Should I? Does it take away some of the fun if I tell you which songs I'm narrowing in on?
That's fine. I think this is a mistake again. But go. What songs are you considering?
There are 3 choices currently in consideration.
Garce, please get a damn hit tonight. I'm rooting. Hopefully the game gets in tonight.
You're
as well.
You're hoping he goes 3-for-3, yes! So you don't have to worry about this.
Yes,
there are 3 songs in consideration to help Michael Garcia come out of his slump. Those songs are Hits Don't Lie, covering Shakira's Hips Don't Lie.
Hits Don't Lie. Okay.
That's in the mix. Mm-hmm. I'm In Love With a Hitter, covering T-Pain's I'm In Love With a Stripper. That's in the mix. Mm. and Garcia Garcia covering Maria Maria by Santana.
That's better because that's specific
to him. Those are currently the songs that are in the running.
Look, if you had to do a song, the Garcia Garcia is better because the other ones are not. But that could be about anybody. Like, I'm in love with a hitter could be about anything.
I would write it about Michael Garcia. Yeah. It's not like his name wouldn't be included in
it. I don't like the path we're headed down. I don't like this path. Look, the Royals are 11-6. They're kicking ass right now.
I've been really enjoying watching
the Royals. About Seth Lugo. Why don't you write a song about Seth Lugo, my man? Because
I'll write about good players.
Seth Lugo has a 1.05 ERA through four starts with the Royals. His staff has 11 quality starts now in 17 games. I mean, it's been remarkable. Remember the story when they signed Seth Lugo? We were like, okay, the question is, do you believe that his very short tenure as a starter, remember, he's a bullpen guy, as a starter, what we saw with San Diego, is that just who he is now? Can he replicate that? And the early return, he's been sensational. It looks like the Royals got an absolute steal with the type of deal they put together to bring in Lugo.
It might be the best deal anybody signed in the entire free agency period in Major League Baseball. Hell, it's the best free agent signing the Royals have made in 5 years, at least. Like, I'd have to go back to the 2014-15 where, like, Kendrys Morales ended up being such a great fit for what they needed at that time, or some of these other pitchers. You know, like, I get it. Like, oh, the Guthrie trade, or the, if we start including trades into the mix, because trades and Cole Reagans.
Yeah.
But if we're just talking pure free agent signings, this was finding a needle in a haystack. What is the most impressive about this is that the Royals were willing to take the risk. And yeah, maybe it's just because they had to bargain by, right? You couldn't get the guy who was the established starter, the Jordan Montgomery, who was out on the market and everybody already knew he could already start. You chose a guy who had a single year of being a full-time starter for the first time in 5 years. The last time he was a full-time starter, he was 28 years old for the Mets, and he threw 101 innings. That was the most he had ever thrown. Fast forward 5 years last year for San Diego. He throws for 146 innings. Other than that, just hasn't been a starter. Royals roll him in, and he's got one of the league's best ERAs. He's 3-0. He was dominant again last night. The curveball is, near perfect right now in the early part of the season. This has been a tremendous signing. I think part of it is, I know, again, like, just fundamentally, like, the ERA part of it won't maintain, but I think I'm getting close to the, they can't get this level of starting pitching, as in, they can't be a great rotation the entire, they can do that. Maybe not a 2-point earned run average out of all five starters.
Great, yeah.
But can they have one of the three best rotations in baseball? How the hell am I supposed to deny that now with the way Lugo's throwing, Singer's throwing, Reagans is throwing? It's hard to argue the other side.
Yeah, the key is, like we've seen throughout baseball, whether we're talking pitchers or anything, this entire team and how they're 11-6, the question will be at some point when somebody gets hurt, and even if it's a short IL stint, you know, what happens then? Because we've seen this, whether it's in their own division in the AL Central with the Guardians, we've just seen it throughout. The Braves just lost Spencer Strider. Those are season-long injuries. I'm even just talking about, in general, about the base. There will be a point in time, because it's 162 games, somebody's going to get hurt. And what does the team do when that happens? How do they play when that happens? Because that's another test that you will have to have, because they're just not going to stay healthy all year. That's not me jinxing or anything. That's just baseball. We've seen it for, you know,
it's just not
50
common.
Years. You know, that there will be injuries. How do you supplement your rotation or otherwise? That, to me, could be the difference of how special of a season this can be. What happens if and when that does occur for somebody? But in terms of Seth Lugo, what they're getting out of him, my goodness, this contract that they signed him to as well looks incredible. And it gives you faith about the process moving forward. I know we used to joke about trust the process and all that, but truly, they trade for Cole Reagans. They believe there were some fixes they could make. Obviously, we've seen the results. Seth Lugo, building off of what he did with San Diego. Heck, even Alec Marsh, he's your fifth starter, but you'll take a 4.32 ERA, and that'll go up, I'm sure. But that's your fifth starter. My point is the development side, obviously the scouting side, what they have going right now with the front office, and then obviously we'll talk about Matt Quatrero later and what he's done with the bullpen and some decisions. They kind of make you feel pretty good about the future, not just this year, but where things are trending right now with how they're evaluating and developing some of these pitches. Because we know ultimately that is something that they're going to have to do to have sustained success in these big leagues, because you know, it's great you went out and they were aggressive this offseason for this year. They went and said, hey, we're going to go sign, you know, veteran pitchers.
Waka and Lugo.
Because our farm system, we got to build this thing back up a little bit and buy us some time there. But at some point, that they're going to have to be able to have a young pitcher come up that you trust that they can develop. And right now, even the adjustment from Brady Singer has been extremely promising so far this year.
Are the Wild swings offensively just like young offense still trying to figure it out? Because if you look at runs per game, they're actually 11th in baseball. They're not as bad as you think, even though they scored only two yesterday, one the day before, and then two games before that, they scored one as well, or zero, whatever, like on Friday. I scored one, 6-1 on Friday. Then the in-between game, they scored what, 11? So it's like, over their last four games, they've actually scored like four runs a game, but out of three of those four, they've scored two runs or less. And at some point, that part has got to catch up with the rest for just like the ebbs and flows of starting pitching where, again, I don't think that they devolve into a not good rotation or a league average rotation. I think they're already starting to show you that they're going to be better than a league average rotation, and instead they're going to be around a top 5 or 10 rotation in baseball, if not better. Right than that. And the runs, though, that's the part where you're like, okay, let's get a little more than just Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino going.
Well, thinking of Vinny, you heard last night he was, of course, talking to Joel Goldberg after another win, and the Royals get to 11-6. And, you know, Joel was asking the question about, hey, you lost on Sunday against the Mets, and something we even talked about yesterday, which was, all right, you're now taking on the White Sox. It'd be nice to bounce back. This was Vinny's answer. I thought it was pretty telling on Bally last night.
Last thing, you guys have had this bounce back ability. Yesterday, losing that game, come right back. We've seen it over and over again. Well, what is it about this team that has that ability to flush it so quickly?
We're a good team. That's what it is. It's not a bounce back. We're just a good team. We're not going to fall into these, you know, these mental traps of, oh, we went on a streak of 7 in a row, or we lost this many in a row. We're a good team. We expect to come out every night and compete, and that's about it.
Borderline sounds like he's ready to fight Joel.
It was a little aggressive.
We're good, Joel.
Yeah, he was definitely aggressive with it, and you got to love hearing that from Vinny. And he's of course feeling great right now. He's playing at a very, very, very high level, and this team's belief and attitude and all of that, the confidence, we've said that 100 times already this season. It's real, man. Like they truly do go out there and expect to win. It was the Vern's point in the offseason when we had him on about how important it was for this team to go and win with this group so they don't fall into a trap maybe of the past group, you know, of guys like, frankly, Whit Merrifield and others where, you know, you had that losing attitude, losing mentality. That's not what this group has whatsoever. And they're 11-6 and they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Still a half game back from the Guardians for whatever reason. Those jerks. That's fine. Them and the Yankees continued to do well this year. But it's hard. When I listen to Vinny say that, I feel good that he's willing to stand up for that. Because honestly, that has been his stance from the beginning. When he was getting asked about some of the struggles in the hitting, he explained at that time why he wasn't worried about it. And that, as you remember, who gives an S? We're winning games. That shirt available at Raygun. By the way, I heard they're gonna send us a few.
We're winning games.
That is enough to make you like his stance has been this entire time, and he's right. The way they're playing right now, why would you in any way? At what facet? Again, what facet are you just bad? Even if I've been the offense lately has been like struggling a little bit. Okay, so what did the struggling offense get them? 2-2 in their last four games? They're not scoring, and they're 2-2 in their last four games. Not that bad. Like it's not as bleak as it is. Also, the White Sox are miserable, dude. That they are the Royals, I guess, now are what 5-5 against every other team in baseball. Or no, sorry.
5-0 against the White Sox.
5-0 against the White Sox.
Yeah, they're 5-0 now, and
so 6-5. Oh my God.
They're gonna take on another, you know, young pitcher tonight if the game gets in tonight against the White Sox. And yeah, I'm not saying you're gonna sweep a team all year, but these are the type of opponents. I think at some point the White Sox will get them for one.
How many games do they have against the White Sox this year?
I'm not sure. This will be game 6 tonight, and they're 5-0 so far. Beat up on bad teams.
They take on another guy making his major league debut tonight.
Yeah, just beat up on bad teams. And the White Sox and Marlins will be duking it out for the worst team in baseball all year.
Is it going to be a fight? I mean, the Marlins are really bad too.
I think the Marlins will give them a run for their money. Yes, I do.
I think the Marlins are in competition for that, huh?
I think the Marlins will give the White Sox a run for their money for the worst team in baseball. Yes.
The only real downside is it doesn't appear the Royals play the White Sox again after this series until July.
Well, that makes sense because they're going to play eight.
July.
Eight in the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it'll be a little while. And, you know,
or seven, I guess.
They love to stack division games in September. Oh, wait. Do they only play 10 games against the White Sox this year? 11 games against the White Sox? They might only have three more games against the White Sox after this series wraps up. Which, who cares? By the way, if they finish up this series sweeping gold, only need to sweep one more series in order to go undefeated against Chicago this year. It's not even that crazy. And by the way, the injury thing, which you had pointed out, which I guess I hadn't really considered till now, technically they've been without one of their starters for a full 17 games. Not every, but like they've been out with Michael Massey, and I do think he's an upgrade over what they've gotten at second base, both defensively and offensively. In the early stages of this season, they have been out with, now not any pitchers, but they have been out one starter during this time. And look, they missed Sally for a night. He was out on Twitter last night, essentially breaking his own injury news.
Yeah, it may sound like it's not a big deal. He claimed he's playing tonight. We'll see if the Royals actually allow him, because the report was he was pleading to play last night in typical Salvi fashion, and they're like, no, you're not. Q is like,
just take
no,
a day, dude.
You're not playing. So I don't know if that'll happen again today. But the fact that he tweeted about it, it's clearly nothing serious. That's all we were. What if he needs to sit out for 3 days or 4 days? Who cares? The worry initially was, oh, is this going to be like weeks and weeks? And it sounds like that has been avoided based off of not only Salvi's tweet direct from the source, but also Matt Q's comments after they win last night. We'll get back to some Royals baseball throughout the show. Obviously feeling good, an 11-6 start out of the gate for the Royals. I wanted to get back to something yesterday that occurred. We know we heard from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Also Nick Bolton talked, and he's someone we've discussed maybe next in line to go get an extension based off of how they feel about him. The comments from Steve Spagnuolo when he joined us earlier in the offseason. Yesterday, Nick Bolton spoke, and this is what he had to say about maybe staying in Kansas City long term.
Yeah, man. I've been in the state of Missouri, man, going on 7 years now. So it definitely feels like home. The fans, the community, open arms since I got here as an 18-year-old. So, yeah, man, staying here, man, it'd be a blessing, man. It'd be a dream come true. We can get that done in the foreseeable future.
I think he is going to get an extension this offseason. We've both discussed that. And the question still will remain, how many of the three guys that everybody assumes are in line for extensions, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, Nick Bolton, how many of them are getting extensions? And who are you most confident in? I'm most confident in still that Nick Bolton is getting an extension. And then after that, probably Creed Humphrey. But Nick Bolton, to me, is getting an extension this offseason.
I'm worried about it. The Spag comments about how he runs the defense makes me wonder a little bit. Although I would point out that they used to say that about Tyrann Mathieu defensively and how he was the shepherd that led them through defensively. And they did still let him go, even despite that.
Different age, but I got you.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, they've said those things about it, so I can't just, like, put it fully in there. If the number is the number I've seen on Nick Bolton, I don't want them to pay him. If the number is what the free agent linebacker for Jacksonville got this offseason, okay, I can live with it. To me, this really comes down to price. The reason why I think I'm more confident Creed would be the guy who got the extension is I think you know the center price. It's not a mystery. Linebacker is hard because linebacker is a heavily paid position, but mostly because of pass rushing outside linebackers. Interior linebackers, the price has varied a little bit more, and I think it's going to be harder to come to a number that makes sense for both sides. I'd be surprised if they're not going to explore it. They clearly love Nick Bolton. They moved on from Willie Gay with ease. They didn't even think about it. They were like, we'll take Drew Tranquil at a severe discount and we'll see you later. But I also think in a way, Drew Tranquil, because of what he did, offers you like a little bit of wiggle room. This is another one of those, doesn't the draft tell us something too?
Yeah.
They take a linebacker in the second round. Do we really feel like Nick Bolton's getting a contract extension later this year?
No, that's fair. I mean, will the draft make us feel differently on any of the three? Not just Nick Bolton, but I mean, let's apply that the same thing to Trey Smith, depending on how they draft. Let's say they draft a guard. Does that change your opinion on the likelihood Trey Smith gets an extension? I already feel it's less likely than the other two anyway. If they draft a center, obviously that changes everybody's view. I don't think they're going to, but
especially high. They take one in the seventh round. They're maybe hedging their bet. But
yeah, but if they used one of their first three picks or something, I'm not saying they're going to, but all that can change how we view this. I still would put, you know, in order of likelihood to get an extension, Bolton, Creed, and Trey. It sounds like you're Creed, then Bolton, then Trey, if I can pick it up on kind of where you're at. Order.
Again, I think you could make, there are some people who make the argument that Trey is actually more valuable than Creed Humphrey. I've seen it made. I don't agree with it, but that's fine. I've seen it made. And I think people are still hung up on the idea that Creed Humphrey had snapping troubles last year, which is not insignificant when it's one of the important parts of your job as a center.
Yeah.
Every other facet of his grade is elite level, and he's had no other snapping problems at any other point in his career. I'd like to think that an offseason could solve that.
I think some of it is that you were talking about the details on what a deal could look like for Bolton.
Yeah.
It's the unfortunate reality of where the guard market maybe is heading. Like, do you want to pay?
It's high too,
you know, it's not even an ability thing. Do you want to pay a guard that kind of money? You got to look on their old line. If they're going to give an extension to Creed Humphrey, that means he's going to make top center money. I know it's not a huge deal, but it's still top center money. You're already paying Joe Tooney, even though that contract looks better and better every season because, again, of where the guard market is at. But still, you're paying him decent money. You're paying a right tackle in Juwan Taylor top tier money as well. At some point, you got to make some tough decisions.
Yeah.
And I agree. Like this text from our text line, 913-586-7610 from the 816. It's not really up to the player. It's up to the team if they want them or not. Oh, obviously. But
the player would also like to be here. They get some say.
Of course. It's not just because Nick Bolton says he wants to be here. He's going to be there. There have been public comments in the past that would suggest the Chiefs would absolutely like Nick Bolton here. And I get it. We can always find comments like that. You brought up the Tyrann Mathieu example. I think the difference here is Nick Bolton is also part of a team that has won back-to-back championships. He's also 24 years old.
Although, in fairness, Tyrann was on a team that went to back-to-back Super Bowls. He just didn't win the second one.
And he's 24.
Yeah.
And Tyrann was 28, maybe 29, something like that.
But he's also safety versus line. And this is like positional value. Mm-hmm. Those two probably rank in a similar range.
We'll see. You're right on the draft, though. You know,
the draft does tell us things. I think sometimes, like you and I talked about this, if they take a defensive end, 32nd overall, it tells us something about Felix Anudike Uzomah. It just does.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't mean it's hopeless. It doesn't mean he won't have value to the team. It just means it tells you about where they are with him right now. If they take a guard at 32, it tells you what their plans are for Trey down the road. And I still don't rule out, like, that was the one hypothetical trade that at least I didn't think was ridiculous when it was brought up. A lot of other people just bring up these, like, ridiculous draft day trades. It don't happen all that often. You're like, what if this guy got traded for, what if they traded for Justin Jefferson on draft day? I'm like, I don't need to do that. If they really liked a guard in the draft, knowing that they can't pay both and that they both got these performances, I don't think trading Trey Smith on draft day would be crazy.
Yeah.
I can see the logic and how a team would get to that point and think, we can replace this player with this pick. We like our depth at guard maybe anyway, and teams are always looking for quality offensive linemen.
Yeah.
We'll protect ourselves in that way.
Ultimately, you can say whatever you want, but the draft and free agent signings, you know, the actions speak louder than words. And that's where you can play the game and publicly say the right stuff, but how you act is ultimately going to determine truly how you feel. And so that same thing applies for any of these players. I mean, Creed Humphrey has a snapping problem. They have said publicly they think it's correctable. And clearly, if they think it's correctable,
they're not going to worry about it.
And they'll give him an extension. Like, that's why I'm not worried about the snapping, what I mean in terms of the contract extension. And you might be like, what do you mean? Because I trust the Chiefs. They're not going to give Creed Humphrey an extension if they actually think they can't correct the snapping.
If they think it's just done, they're like, he's got the yips. It's over.
Then they won't give him an extension. Like, it's that simple. So I'm not worried about the snapping one bit because they're not going to give a contract to make him the highest paid center in football if they actually are concerned about the snapping.
It is literally his only flaw as a player. I'm not just saying that
I don't know if that's fair, but yeah, I mean, we all love Creed. I don't know if that's his only flaw. There's some run blocking stuff that could be a little bit better, but yes, the snapping was noticeable last year. It was a problem last year.
Run blocking that's the thing I care the least about.
I'm just saying though, he's not the perfect player.
But he's close.
He's very good. When he got drafted, we said, they have a chance to now have their center for the next 10 plus years. And it still looks like that.
I just think teams value that. Like, whether or not teams value it. Because there's a relationship issue. There's timing. There's comfort. There's cadence. There's just so many things that go through that position more than just physically getting the ball to the quarterback and blocking for the quarterback and expectations. That's why the value has always been higher for that position. And teams are more willing to move off of guard than they have been centered any particular time.
I was checking X, Twitter, whatever the hell it is, during the segment, and you can always hit us up on Twitter at Cody B. Tap at Alex School. We know we have some weather in the area today. I was laughing because I saw some people tweeting that like the local, one of the local news stations was recommending wearing a bike helmet because I guess there was some hail. I've never been in that spot before.
A bike? Why don't I just stay inside?
that would also.
By the way, if hail got your roof, Century Roofing, 33 years in Kansas City. Look, they're a great company. But beyond that, bike helmet, I'm just going to stay in. I'm not going outside if I need a bike helmet to stay safe from the hail.
I guess some people, you got to be outside, you know?
Did you see any hail? I didn't see any here.
No, there was a point the first, I don't know, 3 minutes of the show for like 60 seconds. It clicked, you know, and went from 0 to 100. But no, it's just, you know, good spring thunderstorm in Kansas.
If the company offered you a garage here, would you pay for it?
A garage here?
Yeah.
Like, my car's 10 years old. I don't care anymore.
What if you got a new car?
Yes.
And it was like $15 a month. Would you pay it?
I would.
Yeah, I would too. Only because of the new car. My old car, I'd just let it sit out there.
I'm worried about a little hail damage on my car at this point. But your car you just got, you have insurance for a reason, but still, that would suck. We just had this conversation.
Make an insurance claim on hail damage for your car and stink. Yeah,
well, especially since it's brand new. We had this discussion, like, 3 years from now, not going to irritate you as much.
No, I didn't even have the tip tags off. I can't be getting hail damage.
Yeah, that would, yeah. So it says, why not a hard hat? Well, not everybody. They figure you're more likely to have a bike helmet, I guess. I don't know. I don't have one because I don't have a bike.
I have a bike helmet, but I don't have a hard hat.
You got kids, so I figured you have some extra bike helmets.
I also used to ride a bike frequently.
When's the last time you ride the bike?
This year I've ridden a bike, but I used to ride a bike to and from school and work. I used to when I first started working at 610, I used to ride from Waldo to here.
Really?
On a bike, yeah.
That's a good little trek.
It's not bad. It's probably like a 25-minute bike ride, maybe?
Okay.
I mean, if you're really hustling.
Yeah, man, it's summertime, humidity and heat, 95 degrees, and you're riding that bike to work. Whoa, dude, your back is sweating by the time you walk in the building. That's awful for everybody involved.
For everybody?
Yeah.
What do you think, I don't take care of deodorant
issues? Still, though, you know, you're coming to work just sweaty.
I couldn't make it now. I don't think there's, like, a proper path. I used to just take because, like, I had to ride in the road because, like, as you know, from here to Waldo, there's not, like, there's not a bike path taking you all the way there. Yeah. So I used to take, Gregory down or whatever.
I guess there is a tornado warning in Smithville, and Kearney, and Holt. How much of our show got cut off if you weren't on the app because of weather warnings?
Like a minute and a half or 2 minutes.
I figured that was going to happen. That's the only downside of the weather during the show. Yes, every once in a while. Can we time it up so when Cody does his Garcia song, can we have the weather warning?
I was going to say, I just said I was considering it.
It depends on kind of what Mikel does tonight.
Okay. God, please.
He goes 0 for again tonight or 1 for 6 or something. What choice do I have? You know, my hands are tied.
This one, I think you got to give. You got to.
Wow. Okay.
So it worked well for Vinny.
How many bad games has Mikel had? Three?
Seven or
eight in a row. Not three, seven or eight in a row.
So we're getting so we're up to the 7 or 8 range. I think that I don't want to say it could be in order, but
I think we're a week away.
Let's see how the rest of the series goes.
A full week?
Yeah. We'll see how the rest of the series
goes. Give the guy a chance, man. Give the guy a chance.
I'm going to help his chances.
I think you got to give him a week.
Let me see his. Hold on. Let me look up the numbers.
I'll let you do that during the break. We're late already. Coming up next, though, terrible ideas and suggestions from some TV executives about, frankly, how to ruin March Madness. We'll tell you what they are next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
My recital, I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right,
on top.
It's tricky, it's so tight.
Here we go.
It's tricky to rock around. That's right, on time. It's tricky.
Coming up in about 15 minutes. It's been a bit since we got an update on Drew's living conditions. I'm told there's new news. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it means Drew is moving out today. I don't know if that means that he's suing them. I have no idea. We're going to find out together here in about 10 to 15 minutes or so. I do want to pass along on a more serious note, unfortunately, some sad news out during the break that Baseball Hall of Famer, Royals Hall of Famer, Whitey Herzog passing away at the age of 92 years old. That out from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch in the last 5 minutes or so. He, of course, managed the Royals 75 to 79, played for the KCAs back in 1958 to 1960, and was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame back in 2010. Of course, had a great career with the St. Louis Cardinals and World Championships there. But some sad news, Whitey Herzog passing away at the age of 92.
Had what? Multi-year career with the A's, so Kansas City, and then, or not Kansas City.
Yeah, he played for the Tigers. As a player, he played for the Tigers, Orioles, Washington Senators, and KCAs. And then as a manager, Rangers, Angels, and Cardinals, obviously. Yeah. Cardinals is
his longest stretch.
Yes.
Sad news. Also, it does appear that we are in a tornado.
Watch.
I was like, wait, which one is it?
We are the
tornado
metro
watch
area
until 6 o'clock, according to the news director over at KMBZ. He opened the door just to tell us. Also, I just got an email from my kid's school that said we briefly went into tornado precautions for 10 minutes. Kids are fine.
Get under the desk. They still do that. That's still the move.
I don't
under
know
the desk. You know.
I don't know.
That's still the.
Maybe.
I figured you would know.
I figured you would know. I'll be honest. They don't really tell you those things. Oh. I think sometimes you can get a permission slip to like get them to opt out of some other stuff, but I don't think that's one of them. I don't think they let you opt out of tornado warning preparedness. You know.
So we'll keep an eye. Drew can just tell us whenever we are being interrupted by weather warnings or whatever, and at that point in time, that's when we'll have Cody sing. So I think that's the new. You can sing whenever you want, man. If we find out that there's a 2 minute stretch where we've got emergency alerts going, you're gonna regret this if I sing a song tomorrow
and then Michael Garcia goes like 10 for his
or
next
tonight
20.
He just gets over. Then we don't have to deal with you making a Michael Garcia
that's true.
Song.
That's true.
He better hit tonight. He better get a hit tonight.
I'm gonna start working on the lyrics during breaks.
So you're not confident that he's gonna figure it out. That doesn't speak to a lot of confidence in Garcia. I don't like that. I don't like that.
That's already
working on a song. Let the man get out of the slump.
I looked at it. He's in just as long of a slump as Vinny was in. In his last 10 games, he is hitting 103 with a 180 on base percentage and 10 strikeouts. It's not been going great for Michael Garcia. I'm here
to
help.
He'll be fine.
That's all.
And the reason why we can say he'll be fine is because when the team is winning and they're 11-6 and everything else is going good, a lot less pressure. Like, oh my gosh, got to get things going quickly. You got multiple guys that are picking you up. You know, it's the cliche stuff, but like they're playing as a team. You know, all that. It's all happening right now. We'll get back to some Royals.
Hasn't stopped him from winning, which helps.
Yeah, we'll get back to some Royals baseball in a little bit. I saw something yesterday that why do people suggest things need to be changed just for the sake of it? Why do we need to ruin great things? And I feel like that's what's happening with this article that came out involving former ESPN executives that suggested what I will just nicely call terrible March Madness changes. Among them, they want to have the men's basketball tournament on Saturday and Sunday for the opening rounds instead of Thursday and Friday.
And then Monday, Tuesday for the second rounds?
No, we don't need to do this. I love the fact Thursday, Friday, going right into the weekend. Even if you're at work Thursday, Friday, it's still fun because everybody's talking about it.
No, I don't like this at all. And you still would have it on Monday, Tuesday. Why do we need to change this? Thursday, Friday is perfect. Going right into the weekend to kick off the tournament.
If they have a worse idea than this, I'll be stunned.
So that's
the worst of all ideas, because yes, of course, we want it to bleed into the weekend. Thursday, Friday, all day games. Saturday, Sunday, even more games. That's logical. Why would I want the opening round games to only be on Friday? I'm guessing the argument is like there's even more games during those. They're every like 5 seconds, but God, I hate it. I hate that one. Okay, next.
The other one is using home arenas for both
the men's side
and the women's tournament. Right now, for those that don't know, the women's tournament, they play the first two rounds at, you know, so USC was one of the top seeds. They played that out in California, Iowa. They played at their home arena. They want to do that for the men's side as well. I hate that idea. Part of the fun to me is that when you're waiting for Selection Sunday as well, you find out the pods and where they're going, the matchups. It also, you know, does Oakland upset Kentucky if that game is in Kentucky? Now, they wouldn't have played. Kentucky wasn't a high enough seed to where the game wouldn't have been in Lexington, but it would have been at
Louisville.
Whoever the number one seed in their.
Sure.
Whatever. You know, one of because I think in the women's game they do was the top two or three seeds get a host.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Or whatever. So whatever Kentucky seed was, were they a three seed? Maybe it would have been actually in Lexington. Is Oakland beating Kentucky if that game's at home?
Erupt?
No.
And so my biggest issue with that one is I think it probably ruins the likelihood of upsets. So the big boys and the TV networks probably like it because further down the rounds, they're more likely to get Duke and Kansas. And as a fan, I think you would, if you're a fan of that team, you'd probably like it. Gold, getting to watch an NCAA tournament game at Allen Fieldhouse is probably an incredible environment.
Sure.
But from a competitive standpoint, I hate it. I like it for about half of reasons I understand. But like just the pure, I want massive upsets because it's the NCAA tournament part's a turnoff.
Now, this last one I'm fine with. This is what should happen. And as we continue to see the sport grow on the women's side, I think this will eventually happen. The last suggestion from these executives was have the men's and women's Final Four in the same city. I think that's a great idea.
Easy.
Yeah. I mean, the Final Four was in Phoenix for the men, and then they played in the Cavaliers Arena in Cleveland. As the women's game grows, why can't we do it? This seems like
Can we get rid of putting them in stupid football stadiums?
Nah, they're too greedy for that, unfortunately.
If we're actually trying to fix some things, I got a solution for you.
I know.
Put it in a basketball arena for basketball.
Yeah.
Don't put it at Lucas Oil Stadium. Nobody wants to watch a basketball game from 7,000 yards away.
I think that's part of the reason why. It's not all of it, because the women's game had more star power, I think, than the men's game, particularly this year. But in terms of the environment and the way that the game sounds with everybody collectively in the arena instead of 70,000 people spread out, where you don't have as much you don't feel like it's a big game as much like you did where in the women's Final Four games. It was loud, it was ruckus, it was crazy. You didn't get that. And I know that NC State was there, and they were a double-digit seed, but it still didn't feel very Final Four-ish for the men's side.
So this is, to me, the difference in-person versus the TV product, because we know why they play the men's games in these football stadiums. Because they can sell it out, and it's money, and that's why I don't think they're going to switch. They should have the women's games in the same city. I don't know. The tricky part is, are you blocking? They're not getting 74,000. Like this year with Caitlin Clark, maybe they get 50,000. I have no. In a normal
they might
year,
have had 74 just because their ratings are better than the men's this year.
This year,
yes.
In a normal year, they're probably not getting 74,000 at a stadium. I don't know how you solve that issue if you move to the same city. But having been to a Final Four, unless you have the great seats that are super expensive, you can't see a damn thing. And that's what I'm saying. But people are still buying those seats, though.
Right,
on TV,
right.
So I actually don't think it's
more.
A bet.
Like, if you want the money to be the same, this works the same as when I ran a bar versus anything else. Just charge more for less seats.
Like charge more for the nosebleeds, yeah.
It's so obvious. Like, let's say a lower-level seat at the Final Four at Lucas Oil is a $450 ticket. Well, now
wish.
It's 600 and whatever. I'm just giving it out.
No, I know. Yeah, sure. I wish. Sign me up for that.
Fine, $1,000 for a lower-level seat for the Final Four. Now it's $1,500. By the way, the person who paid $1,004 will pay the $1,500, or they'll pay the $1,000 to sit up higher. It sucks because it is price gouging in a way, but it is a high-level sporting event. We all understand the price to get in the building. Same as the Super Bowl.
Regarding the home arenas thing, I think, honestly, and we even talked about this a little bit earlier, is that traditionally the women's tournament hasn't gotten really good until the Final Four or the Elite Eight. I think I wonder if you took the women's tournament out of the home arenas, how many more upsets are we going to have where like a 13 knocks out of four? I wonder if the I don't know if it would do this, but I wonder if the women's tournament would get more eyeballs because they're not in the home arenas as much, and you could see Princeton knock off a four-seeded Gonzaga, a four-seeded Creighton. I wonder if it would get a little bit more traction because the women's game has more upsets and all of that rather than playing at the home arenas. Like, that was the worst one, I think.
Why not just put every Super Bowl in Michigan Stadium? You know, like we sell 107,000 seats, so we might as well.
Yeah, at the Rose Bowl or something like
that. Yeah, no, it's, or, you know, I don't know, whatever the warmest weather football again, stadium that's big.
The best
Tiger Stadium, LSU probably.
The best venue for the Final Four is what's happening this coming year, which is they're going to San Antonio. That's beautiful because they play at the Alamo Dome, but that's still not Lucas Oil. It's still not these. It's, I think Alamo holds 50 something instead of 70 something. That's actually a little bit better. Yeah. And that's a pretty cool environment.
They had, I don't know if it was a regular season game, but they had Wemby's debut, I think, at the, in the Alamo
that's
Dome.
Right.
So it can be done. And it's obviously got a good, it is interesting too. You mentioned former ESPN executives made the suggestion. So the people in suits yet again, striking with a bad idea.
I guess, correct me. I think the Alamo Dome, just quick look, it actually does hold over 60 something thousand. So it's still a huge venue. It just doesn't feel as big as
just
State Farm. And because that place we walked in there, it's just nuts.
I think it's a lot of it. It's to me, it just, I get some of it's the teams, I think, but the environment that you want to create, it doesn't match college basketball. Like the environment could be in a football stadium. And I know there's more seats. I know there's excitement. I know it's the Final Four, but it doesn't match the atmosphere of a game in Allen. Obviously they're not going to have it there in Allen or in Cameron Indoor. But if you had the game, I don't know, in T-Mobile, like the Big 12 tournament, it was loud in there. I mean, it was in an arena that's built for sound wise, a basketball tournament. It just fits, I think, a lot more in terms of how it sounds, how it's presented, and all of that. It's not, I'm not saying it's terrible in the football stadium because I get it, but I think it makes it even a little bit more better.
I think ideally, of course, they would have it in smaller venues. We just know why they don't. I mean, it's the same reason why we just talked about Messi yesterday. Sporting Kansas City environment.
There were Sporting fans who were mad about it. Yeah.
And there were plenty that were mad. You know, on one hand, you're making it way more accessible, which I appreciate for people that want to see Messi. On the other hand, obviously, they're making more money by doing it. But if they just left it at Children's Mercy Park, yes, the atmosphere would have been incredible.
And
the tickets
would have
been outrageous, and less people could have had access. Well, so there's pros and cons to when you move it to a bigger venue.
I'm not going to make any more of, I'm not going to go deeper into that, but I think Messi's used to playing in front of 70, like soccer stadiums are 70,000 deep, 80,000 deep in some places where basketball's not meant, like soccer is meant to play.
If anything, it's funny. There's people were complaining that the field was too small.
Yeah.
Like the actual pitch was too small because of the way it's usually
structured. The dimensions and everything?
Yeah. I was complaining it wasn't big enough. Oh, classic stuff. Just idiot TV people.
You're trying
to
make things better by making them worse, actually. You know, you don't need to fix
these it. These ideas are rough, that's for sure. All right, we'll get an update on Drew's living conditions here in about 5 minutes or so. This morning, though, if you caught on Fesco in the morning, they had the president of the St. Louis Cardinals, Bill DeWitt III, on their show, and you might be like wondering
the
third.
When you're a rich dude, it's good. You got to say it like that.
And he was talking about his desire for sports betting to be legalized in Missouri. If you've been following this show or my betting show, you know we've been talking about this for years now, about the potential of Missouri legalizing sports wagering. Why does Kansas have it? Why does Missouri not have it? And it was interesting. What you're like, why are the Cardinals interested in this entire thing? Well, here was his answer. It's pretty simple.
I just think for Missourians, we need to make sure that, you know, this is something that is competitive for the teams. You know, we all compete on revenues, and it ultimately translates to payrolls and salaries. So, you know, I think the issues that happened over there in Kansas City with the stadiums, not sure that's going to resolve. We certainly root for our brethren over there, and we celebrated the Chiefs' win this year. So we're kind of all in it together here in Missouri and root for each other, which is kind of cool.
Do you see it?
Oh, I don't know why that cut wasn't.
Do you see? I don't know.
That freaked me out for a second. I was like, what, Bob? No, but the teams are all on board. We've discussed this, that there's a coalition of every single pro sports team in Missouri is in support of legalizing sports wagering. And it's pretty obvious. It's revenue. It's more revenue, both in marketing dollars and potentially, depending on the league, maybe you have a sports book out at your stadium. And so that is another way to make more revenue. And let's be honest. The Cardinals president is coming on in Kansas City. He's trying to use the stadium issue in Kansas City as another way to get sports betting passed. It's something he wants passed and has been an advocate for.
Actually, the Cardinals have been the only local team pushing it because the Chiefs and the Royals have their own problems.
Yeah,
they got to deal with their stadium related stuff. They can't be dealing with the truth is they don't want to focus on both. Yeah. So they're allowing the Cardinals to do it. I thought even more interesting than what Bill DeWitt said this morning was what Brian Platt, one of the city manager office guys, had or maybe the city manager. Had to say yesterday when he claims that they're just going to bypass the vote and they're going to work out something directly with the city, which is not the first time that's been hinted. Because if that's a play or if they're going to go that direction, that's an entirely different conversation than, hey, what if we use these same sports wagering dollars Kansas is threatening us with and use those, which is fine. Definitely do that. But more importantly, how are you going to get these stadium projects passed first?
Yeah, to your point on the Brian Platt quote, he was on KCUR yesterday, and he said the city is in talks with both the Chiefs and Royals. They'll take the lead on future negotiations, which, yes, would bypass Jackson County government. We all know the issues that arose there. He also suggested that, yes, the next deal for a downtown ballpark may not require a public vote, and he still favors the East Crossroads site because of its proximity to other downtown attractions and the streetcar, which is really interesting. I'm sure some people will not take kindly to those comments, but just gives you the idea of the path that potentially the Royals and Casey Moe could be heading down, that there's another avenue for them to try to get this thing to happen that may not require is the public support, which is going to tick off a lot of people. We'll see how that ultimately goes. As far as, yeah, the sports betting stuff, look, I've told you guys about this. The legislative part is not going to happen. It is potentially this ballot measure. Signature collections are going on now until next month. And if all goes well with that, Missourians will have an opportunity to vote yes or no on legalizing sports wagering. You should. You live in Missouri. I can't. And it would be on the November ballot.
Lie.
That's illegal. But
it's one form. What are you going to do? Fact check it?
They do. They do. You think the signatures, they don't verify? They absolutely verify signatures.
Do you think so?
Absolutely they verify signatures.
Seems like they probably just like say, okay.
Because signatures get thrown out all the time. Let's say the mark has to be 125,000 signatures. I don't know if that's the number. I'm just throwing it out there. They don't just, hey, we got right at 125. We're done. No, you got to get some over just in case some get thrown out.
Get some overage? Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway,
I guess
if you
I
want the
to
full interview from Bill DeWitt III from Fesco in the Morning, it's up on 610sports.com. The Odyssey app is, he talked a lot more. I know some people are like, why is he meddling in our business? That's because he wants sports wagering.
Yeah.
And he wants money from that. Jack and he wants the Cardinals to be more competitive. All right, Drew. There's an update on your apartment situation. For those that haven't been following, Drew's apartment has been, leaking? You've had snakes. You've looked into mold testing, moving out. You were apartment hunting. What's going on? Have you decided to move out?
I wish we could. I don't know the next process. I might need your guys' suggestion or the text line suggestion. So, they had somebody come by yesterday and they had them take a piece of the wall out to take some pictures of in between the wall. And I was told that, there's minor growth on two pieces of sheetrock. Nothing of major concern, but they want to remediate the issue to the full extent for your health and well-being.
So they claim the apartment is who's telling you it's a minor problem.
Yes. Okay. So what I was prepared to say is you can go ahead and fix the issue today, but that's your problem. My problem is the last 2 weeks in particular, we've been dealing with the leaking issues, potential mold sitting, and nothing had been done to this point. I had went to them and suggested the mold test, and they said, well, let's get this person in to check it. So it wasn't actually technically tested by, an actual inspection.
Just some, maintenance dude in the complex. Correct. And he's like, it's fine. Same person who paints over a light switch for my
job. All right, so what did they say?
Well, I haven't sent the response yet. I talked to them, and they said that if there was mold, they told me to my face that they would break the lease or do what they needed to do to figure it out.
Okay.
Turns out, evidently, there's been some mold growth.
The apartment complex even admitted there's mold.
Okay, and
well,
there's
no, that's what I'm saying.
How big is the hole in your wall? Can you take a photo to prove that it's either major or minor?
Well, there's not a hole. They've patched it back up now,
right.
It's a gap that's like this big that's been.
So I guess I'm confused. Did they told you you're saying minor mold? They told you there's minor mold.
I was told good news. The camera turned out minor growth on two pieces of sheetrock. Nothing of major concern, but we wanted to remedy the situation.
Okay, so here
it sounds like they're admitting that there is mold in the apartment.
Correct. Yeah. I don't know how you took it, Cody. When you said that, I don't know how much you trust the complex. If they're admitting to, oh, there's minor mold, no big deal. Are we sure it's minor? You know what I mean? Like, if they're admitting it's minor, does that actually mean there's quite a bit of mold?
Should I go to the office today and tell them I'm going to get a mold test done by an official inspector and I need to know?
I think you can threaten. Why don't you just be like, hey, I don't want to have to do this, but I didn't even get to see the inside of it. And you're telling me there's some mold. If it's all the same to you, can you just let me out of my lease so I don't have to live with mold?
You need to pay for an independent test.
But if not, right, if you just won't let me out of my lease, then do I need to get an independent test to prove that it's not as serious as you're saying it is? Because I've been telling you about this problem for 2 weeks, and you haven't solved it. I think they want to now, paying for your own.
What are they claiming they're going to do to solve the problem? Other than, we just patched it back up.
They said they would like to cut this out soon, treat the wall cavity with growth inhibitor, and put in a fresh sheetrock and insulation.
Well, if they're willing to do that, then that would be good. If they actually do that.
Someone says they think it's time for my brother to step in. Let's send Jairus after this. He's the doer of the family, right? He's going to get this done for you. We'll just send them in with a...
Well, again, though, this is... Regardless, they said if there was mold growth, then they would break the lease or figure something out. So
Did you get that in writing?
Well, I sent them an email and said, if there is a mold test done, will you accept the results? All they said was received. So I don't know what that means. But I have it in writing asking them if they would accept... Like, I sent an email to them detailing the exact thing that I told them.
I'd try to get out of your lease today. I'd be like, there's mold, I want out.
I'd say, you guys just told me there's minor mold. I went out of my apartment. Does your wife have asthma? Yes, she does. Just claim,
She
definitely has asthma. She can't live here anymore. My wife, I'm worried about her
and walk
health.
In wearing like a N95 mask. Like, I mean, you were like horrified at your place. Yeah.
Time to ramp it up, man. It's time to ramp it up.
It's time to go to the next stage. I think for sure.
So I was prepared to email back. Like, look, the fact that there was mold, I'm not backing away from the fact that you told me to my face that if there was mold, I could break the lease. You just admitted that there was mold to me.
I would say my wife said she cannot live here anymore.
Yeah.
And
she doesn't feel safe in her own health to live in this apartment anymore.
I'll have an update for you. I'm assuming at some point today, I would hope that they would email back by the end of the show.
Okay. I'll let you handle that. Someone texted in with hello. Someone listen to the show. Local company that handles mold remediation and testing. Coming up next, we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour. The draft just about a week away. We got three names each that I think we all would love to see the Chiefs draft. We'll do that. And Matt Cotrero deserves a little more love than what he's getting right now. We'll tell you why next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!